This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London Weekend Review podcast, and we're coming to you after the match at Wolverhampton Molineux, where Bees went up there and they were 2-0 winners. A very, very good result indeed. My name's Billy Grant, and I'm sitting here in the virtual joint with my buddies Laney Lane. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Yeah, good morning. Got back safe and sound with 3 points tucked under my arm. So, yeah, a very good haul up in the Midlands again. Yeah, enjoyed that.
Indeed, indeed. And also we've got the Allard in the house. The Allard, how are you?
I'm very well, yeah, considering. It was, yeah, a busy day yesterday and quite a long evening. And I'm up and ready to talk about this.
Talking about the game, like I said to you, we like to cut up early Sunday morning, so it's actually still fresh in our heads, actually, what went down yesterday. It was an early start as well yesterday, so the good thing about it is that we actually get to get back after the game fairly quickly. First of all, I want to say is that if you want to check out what the Brentford and the Wolves fans had to say, just check out prideofwest.london. The post-match podcast is definitely worth a listen to. You'll hear the Bees fans, you'll hear the Wolves fans, who are very complimentary. You'll also hear Cliff Crown and Phil Giles as well, Brentford Director of Football and Brentford Chairman, also on there, giving their views on the game. So check that out, prideofwest.london. But first of all, I'm going to just turn to you guys and say to you, listen, big, big result yesterday on Saturday. You know, we needed to get a win after the Brighton game. What was your main takeaway, Laney?
My main takeaway is we are Premier League. I underlined it again to me that we're here not in our comfort zone, but we're here in our quality zone. And not one game we're going to play this season probably is going to be easy. But we are here on merit, and we're worth our place. And I think people are starting to wake up now, and just to see, listen to Match of the Day last night. And people were saying, you know, Jonathan Pearce said, it looks like Brentford have been in this division forever and ever and ever. And, you know, words like a mature performance and another good performance by Brentford. We're setting standards and we're achieving the targets that we've set. The Brighton game was a bit of a kick, but I think it was needed almost just to realise that it's not going to go all our way, and helped us refocus, because we did at Wolves. It was an incredible performance from front to back. So yeah, my main takeaway is we are Premier League and deservedly.
It's interesting, and again, I'll keep on sort of plugging this, but definitely listen to the post match podcast, because Phil Giles, I talked about, you know, that performance, and I talked about how he thought that we did, but then I said to him, you know, we've won this game, and then he just went into like the Brighton game, and he's like, we should have lost that Brighton game, and it's almost like there's a little bit of anger there, like, you know, the way that he said that we shouldn't have lost it. So it's exactly what you're saying there, where we get the kicks. I think the club themselves didn't think that we should have lost that Brighton game, and we would have been on an unbeaten run now, which people would have been sort of tipping their hats to us even more. So I think that's quite interesting. The Allard, your main takeaway from that match?
Yeah, it's much the same, to be honest. I always think back to the Championship season, and our first season of the Championship, we went away to Forest and we beat them away. And that was when I knew we were you know, a team that was a Championship ready team. And I think yesterday didn't feel quite like that, because but it was very, very, very close. And there's a performance coming, I think, in the next few weeks where we go, yeah, absolutely, we are here. Just like we did after that Forest game in the Championship. But I mean, I agree with Laney. We look like we're good for the Premier League. Is there another step? Maybe there is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the main takeaway, again, you know, listen, we've had different levels of matches. You know, I mean, again, in the post-match podcast, somebody talked about the fact that Twiggy talked about the fact that he didn't know what level we were at. He said, I've got no idea. I've thought we're going to come in and we're going to be sort of 17th, 18th level, but he goes, I've got no idea. And I think that's a really, really good observation. For me, the main takeaway is I get a takeaway by, you know, I've been to all the matches so far, and I've talked to the opposition after every single game, and I get a takeaway from their perception of us, because their perception will be very different from our perception. And every single fan that we've spoken to for every single game, you know, the Brighton game, the Villa game, the Arsenal game, you know, every single game so far, the Wolves game, even the other day, they've actually kind of given us props and have said to us almost like, what are you worried about? With that team there and the way that you play and the fact that you've got a body language that says that you believe, you know, in yourself, you've got no fears, and you play some great football, you haven't got anything to worry about. But I think as Brentford fans, naturally, we do fear. So my main takeaway from that is I think that we need to have a little bit more confidence in ourselves and actually realise that, you know, that we, you know, look, we do believe it, that we actually do believe here. And I thought, you know, I'd be happy if we finished sort of kind of 16th, you know, or maybe is it 17th, is it? You know, 17th in the league, you know, but maybe a little bit more confidence in ourselves should say, actually, maybe we should be aiming for sort of kind of 12th or 11th because we're actually good enough. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the league table a little bit later. So great game for the Bees, and I mean, there's a few players that played very well, but for the Brentford eye catcher, Laney, who is the player who caught your eye for the Bees?
It's got to be Ivan Toney again. You know, he was everywhere. He won everything in the air. He was a proper handful. And as much as we feared the Wolves' threat, in the end, you know, I think the biggest threat on the pitch was Ivan Toney. You know, the way they had to wrestle him in the area. He made, you know, Connor Cody, an England defender, worried throughout that match. I just thought he looked every bit a top, to coin a phrase, Premiership player. He's reveling in it, and long may that continue. So yeah, Ivan Toney. There was lots, and I won't say any other names because it ruins it for you two. But yeah, he I think was my man of the match.
All right, okay, and marks out of 10.
Nine. He was, yeah. Okay, an assist, a goal, and, you know, and a real handful.
Okay, the Allards.
I can't disagree today on that. I often sort of dodge when players score goals, because I think there's players out there that have done more to contribute, but there wasn't yesterday. Ivan Toney was amazing. And I would give him, I'd give him a 9 out of 10 as well. Just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, for me, listen, this is a clean sweep on this one. Ivan was fantastic. He was a man with a mission. You saw he had a bit of a mission last week. It didn't quite get on the score sheet last week, but today you see that he was potty for it. He was really up for it. He was everywhere. He was a danger in the air. He got that penalty, and again, when he took that penalty, I was thinking, hold on a second. He might miss his first penalty ever. But I mean, so stupid Billy, you know what I'm saying? It's like, of course he's not going to, because he's probably the best penalty. I mean, you know, Gareth Southgate should have had him on the bench, you know, for the Euro finals just to get him to take penalties, because, like, you know, he's never going to miss. I think there was a stat on Opta as well, which is a really interesting stat on Ivan Toney, which said, what did it say? It said, with a goal and an assist today, Ivan Toney has scored 33 or assisted 11, and that's 44 league goals, excluding the playoffs, since joining Brentford in 2020, and that's at least 7 more than any other player in England's top 4 tiers since the start of the season. Start of last season even, so that's buzzing. So, like, you know, Ivan Toney is definitely here, and he's putting his mark on the ground. So, like I said to you, for me, I'm actually giving Ivan Toney, because he actually scared the bejesus out of Wolves, 9.5. out of 10 is what I'm going to give him. What a play. I'm going to have to give a shout as well to Brian and Bumo as well, because I thought that, you know, he was great. Again, he didn't score the goal that, you know, he scored a goal, but he could have scored a couple of goals at least, like, you know, and one of them that sort of kind of curved into the post as well, the one that curved into the post, which I was thinking, it probably would have been easier to actually kind of just slot it or place it than actually kind of really curve it. But then I'm a man who doesn't play football like he does, like, you know,
The other player that needs to be highlighted is Christian Norgaard. I think, you know, he had the most touches, the most tackles, the most passes completed. His stats were incredible from yesterday, and it shows you why he's a, you know, top European international footballer.
And Aja, I mean, some of the challenges he made in the back end of the game were fantastic. There was one particular one in our box, and there was a lot of good performances, yeah, but 100%. Tony just stood out.
Okay. Yeah, he did. Okay, just looking at the opposition though, because listen, we always have to look at the opposition. They, you know, they do, you know, pose problems. They have players that pose problems. Which opposition player was the danger person for you, the Allard?
I'd have to say Traore. We didn't sort of. Do you remember when we played last time we played him, when he played for Middlesbrough, and we just spent the whole game sort of kicking him, barging him, and we all took him turns to take yellow cards. Didn't quite deal with him in the same way, and he looked a danger all through the game. We'll probably come on to stinkers in a minute. We will come on to stinkers in a minute. I'll talk a bit more about him then. But he seemed to be the danger. He seemed to be the danger.
Okay, he marks out a 10.
But I'm only going to give him a 7 because he's not perfect, is he, by any stretch of the imagination? But he scares you when he's got the ball.
I mean, obviously, he was playing down that side. He was playing down the left-hand side. So he's playing down Canos' side as well. I mean, how do you think Canos dealt with him?
Yeah, I think he did a good. I think Canos did a good job. I think there's an interesting discussion about our wing backs at some point. I think Canos has got more physicality than Rico, and you could make an argument Rico struggled a little bit physically yesterday, but Canos, yeah, he did a pretty good job, didn't he?
He did indeed, Lainey.
I'm going to go Adama Traore as well. I don't think there's any shame in picking the same player. You know, again, he was wasteful. But he gave us something to think about all the way through. It was 11 attempted take-ons he tried during that match, which is incredible. So that's you know, he is a central part to the way they play. They get the ball to him and he just goes. We coped with him really well, and his crossing was awful. But he did have the one that came off the bar, which, you know, we'll talk about again a little bit later. So yeah, Adama Traore, on his day, he's exceptional. Yesterday, thankfully, he wasn't.
Even though Lainey,
but a threat all the way through. Yeah, he was the one. You know, he was the one. You know, at any time, you know, one of those can end up being a goal, and that there was lots of opportunities that they could have scored from. From my eyes, where I was sat.
Even though one of the, I mean, the shot that actually hit the crossbar actually had a massive deflection, actually, because where he was shooting, Raya had it covered, it looked like, you know, so it took the deflection, which actually kind of went in a different direction.
We'll never know. It may have gone in the top corner.
Yeah,
the other thing is he did sort of switch more to the right, I think, at some points during the second half, and it was interesting that we brought Roslev on for Rico. I don't know if Rico was injured, but or maybe we decided something else, yeah, because of the physicality again.
Yeah. Lainey, just marks out of 10?
7.
All right, and again,
come on.
Okay, we seem to be clean sweeping. Everyone thinks that we've probably sat down with each other and sort of compared notes before this, because again, for me, it's Traore. Traore, I said, I went on the Wolves fan cast as well, and I was talking Wolves podcast before the match, and I said to them that, you know, Traore scares the bejesus out of me, is I think the phrase that I used, because, you know, we know what he's like. I said at Borough, you know, I spoke to somebody, actually, I think Alan, actually, who's the operations manager at Brentford, you know, he runs a stadium, and he went to the Villa game on the Saturday, saw the Bees at Villa, he said we were very good, and then he went to Man United versus Wolves on the Sunday up at Wolves, and he said that even though Man United beat Wolves, Traore was brilliant, he absolutely tore Man United to pieces, he just didn't score the goals. You know, I thought, you know, with all the chances he's creating and setting up, I thought it's going to happen. But Traore, I thought he was good, but he obviously still didn't do what he had to do. And again, if you listen to the Wolves fans on the Pride of West London, if the post-match podcast, I asked them about Traore, and it's really funny because they're not massively, I mean, I thought, look, not me funny, but he's probably your best player, and they're not massively happy with him. I don't know what's the matter with them. I don't know what they expect, but, you know, he was their, he was their most potent player. He didn't put the ball in the back of the net, but they're really, really negative about him. So, I mean, I don't know if they were just upset because they got beaten by Brentford, but, you know, that was probably it, actually. So, but anyway, Traore for me, 7 out of 10 as well. Going to come to, obviously, and this is the one that actually people seem to like quite a lot, actually, because obviously there's good parts of the match, but there's also stinkers in the match. And there's a stinker in this match for each of us. I'm asking you, Lainey, what is your stinker of the match?
It's a glove manufacturer. The stitching levels, whoever makes David Raya's gloves is shoddy at best. And to be honest with you, it interfered with the game, the flow of the game. Whoever was responsible for that stitching wasted time during the match, and I think they ought to take responsibility for that. So yeah, okay. Stitches.
Okay, and Lainey,
stitches right up, yeah, mate.
Stitches get snitches, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Apparently,
snitches get stitches. But Elizabeth, could you explain to people out there who may not actually know what you're talking about?
Yes. During the second half, there was several hold-ups in play, and one of them was for David Raya to change his gloves.
Were the Wolves fans happy with that, by the way?
They weren't happy with any of it. No, there certainly seemed to be an insinuation that we were wasting time. Which, you know, if you hack one of our players down and you hurt them, then obviously they're going to fall to the ground and need treatment. So but you know, on a more probably serious note, I'd say the stinker was probably Brian Mbeumo's finishing again. I know he scored his goal, but he had two colossal chances. One at the very start of the second half, which would have put us three up, and that is literally game, set and match. He was, you know, we hounded the ball down, and we, you know, our press was incredible, and he literally he curled it again wider than the post. Another glaring error, and then he, you know, there was, you know, the one that he hit the bar from. He's got to do better. Again, Matt said, a bigger conversation for another day. I think we keep those two up front, but I don't think Marcus Forss misses both of those chances.
I've got to ask a question just quickly, because you have actually cheated here, and you've actually thrown in two stinkers. I don't know which one you're giving your marks out of 10 to.
One was a serious one, and I'll go for the glove manufacturer, because I'm going to get behind Brian.
Okay, how much of a stinker is it? I mean, 10 is not massively stinky.
Well, I'll go 8.5.
Right, okay. They need to sort out their glove manufacturing, indeed. The Allard.
I'm good to return to Wolves players on this, aren't I? So I'm going to go. I'm going to go with Traore. So I'm coming back to him, and it was the he had a cross, didn't he? Where he beat a couple of players and then hit a cross into Rose Ed. Well, he didn't quite go in Rose Ed, but he overhit a massive cross and. And I think that was probably the point where I just thought, oh, we're going to win this. Yeah. I don't know what we're worrying about.
Yeah. So, I'll give you some marks out of 10 for that.
It was a 7 to match his performance, I suppose. It was a big stinker. It was an 8.5.
Okay, 8.5. Oh, that's a big. That's big. That's
It was awful. It was awful, wasn't it? It was terrible.
That's a whifter, mate. That's a whifter. And for me, I mean, obviously, like I said, I'm looking at the match, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm not sticking out any Bees players as well. Wolves players, listen, we know what we've done. We've talked about them. I'm going to just step back to sort of stadium activity, because I have to admit, Wolves, you know, I'm not massively keen on going down to Wolves the whole time, mainly because the stadium, how they set the stadium out, where they put the Brentford players in the side section, so you don't get a depth in your fans. You get this long, thin line all the way down, so it's hard for you to actually kind of sort of whip up any sort of kind of away support. I think they obviously do it deliberately. And then also what they've done is also they make sure that you have to go in your section and sit in your actual seats, which, I mean, some people, they think that's great, you know. So what you end up doing, you're in itsy bitsy parts, so what you can't do is mob together with people who want to sing together and that kind of stuff. And I think they do that all deliberately to try and make sure that the away support actually don't whip up a decent support there, which is, again, I think is quite anti-football fan, really. And it's there's a lot of things in football which basically are just not great for football fans. So for me, the stinker of the moment is the stewards, who are literally military action, stopping people and basically almost like trying to march them out of the ground because they are actually going in the wrong section and trying to sit together with their mates. So 3 out of 10 for you Wolves for that, really.
Three out
of 10 is low. Sorry, seven. No, I'm going to put that to 8. I'm going to give him an 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 on a stinky
not happy.
Factor. No, I'm not
Bill's,
happy.
Bill's not happy.
Not happy them at all, you know.
Matt, quick question before we move on. Who was the Wolves player that tried the weird kind of cross with the wrong foot that fell over. That was quite stinky.
That was stinky. Yeah, I can't remember. I can't think who it was. But that was stinky too. He tried to cross it in by doing a bit of Scottish
Highland dancing, and then ended up falling over.
And he had time to do it properly.
Yeah.
But he decided to do that.
That's right. So look, stinky. But listen, there were some positives and negatives in that game. I'm going to throw these over to you guys. Lainey, give me your positives and negatives for Brentford days.
Positives, I think, in an away game like that, the defending was just really players' bodies on the line. The goal, you know, David Raya pulled off an incredible save. I think the Lino had raised his flag on the far side and players might have stopped. But even then, you know, obviously you've got VAR question marks hanging over you. I thought the defending was like their lives depended on it. So that was the positive for me.
Yeah, lads.
Positive wise, I thought playing with 10 men, we regrouped, and I think we did a good job of reshaping. We went to four at the back, and it proved that we can at least be somewhat effective with 10 men. And I think Bremer had a good chance as well. So we didn't even negate moving forward. So I think that was a massive positive for me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say that as well. For me, I said that the fact that not only with 10 men, but also the fact that we kept attacking with 10 men as well. So, you know, if you go back to Thomas Frank's statement, if you check the besotted Twitter, it's hilarious. Thomas Frank actually took them out, you know, because he got lambasted by the Bruno Lage, which is the Wolves manager, you know, sort of basically for time wasting. And Thomas Frank said, if I could ask Bruno what he would have done if he was leading a newly promoted team, we are just a bus stop in Hounslow playing against Wolves established in the Premier League and with 10 times our budget, leading 2-0 away, 10 versus 11. I think his players would lose a bit of time also. But I'd also ask him how the first half went. You look at the game, and did we deserve to win? Yes. Expected goals, big chances, everything. When it was 11 versus 11 and when it was 10 versus 11. You don't use excuses. Just say you lost to the better team on the day. And I thought, boom, there you go. Talking about positives and negatives, we kept attacking with 10 men. But were you actually really nervous at any time? I mean, I know me and Lainey were standing with each other. We were counting down. We were really nervous once we went down to 10 men. Were you the Allod?
I was for probably about 5 or 10 minutes, and then to be honest, I just thought, you know, all Wolves are doing is banging crosses in. They sort of seemed to lose their game plan essentially. They looked quite a good side in the first, for the first 20-25 minutes, and we ruffled them. But I think they fell into that old just smash crosses in, just keep smashing crosses in, and hopefully you'll get something out of it. And to be honest, if you're down to 10 men, that's what you want a team to do. What you don't want to do is pull you apart. You just want to, because you can just get men back and you can defend crosses. You might let one goal in or whatever, but it's much easier to defend than a team that is trying to pull you apart when you're down to 10 men. And Wolves, for whatever reason, switched to that. So I after about 5 or 10 minutes, I started to think, I think this will be all right, as long as we don't have, you know, 76 minutes of injury time.
Yeah. I mean, Lainey, we were both nervous, and you were telling me to shut up every time I was sort of going, oh, we're on 65 minutes now, we're at 70 minutes now, like, you know, I mean, there was a nerves, weren't there?
100%, yeah. Anyone that wasn't nervous in the second half or nervous about the outcome of the game, I'd like to have a pint of whatever they were drinking before the match. You know, Wolves created big chances. They fluffed big chances. It was an incredible save, as I said, the incredible tackles, some big misses, you know, the header. There's a couple of headers. One went over two forwards at the back post, which we thought was going to be headed in. The quality of the crossing let them down. The quality of the finishing let them down. But they were a constant threat. You know, we cope with it brilliantly. But you know, we were count. I don't think there was anyone that wasn't clock watching. You know, most of that second half. You know, one big chance goes in. You heard the crowd at the beginning of the game. If that Molyneux crowd gets behind them, then you're gonna kind of like, right, okay, we really are up against it. Best thing that we did was silence that crowd. They weren't behind them at all after the first 5 minutes, I'd say, and that really helped us. So yeah, nervous, yeah. What deserve win, yeah. You know, they had a load of chances, so yeah. But we deserved it.
Okay, I mean, I'm going to sort of contradict you here slightly as well, lady. Which, listen, they did have some chances, and we do that. You know, and if, on the Wednesday podcast we recorded on Wednesday, out on Thursday, Pride of West London, we'll have Liverpool as well. We're going to have the Anfield Wrap on there, so you must definitely check that out. Big podcast, anyway. But we get Will the Winker on, who's going to give us a statistical lowdown, and he'll tell you actually that, you know, when it comes to the stats side, XG, you might love it, you might hate it, but you know, we absolutely outdid them, even with 10 men, 2.11 Brentford to 1.45 Wolves, and Wolves' chances came from three big chances, which, to be fair, was Trincao on 32 minutes. You know, that was a 55. That's, you know, one in two goes in normally the back of that. Should have probably scored that. Jimenez as well on 87 minutes. That's about 30% as well. And I think there's a third chance as well, which was, I'm not sure when that was. That was a third chance, which was, Hee-chan as well, you know, on 68 minutes, which is about 30-35%. So one in three normally goes in the back of the net for us. We had obviously the penalty, so that would have contributed to our huge 2.11 XG. But we also had the goal and another big chance as well, which I think it was Janelt, who the goalkeeper saved, and then it came back and we put it in the back of the net. It was disallowed for the handball. So, you know, we had chances, but we also had a number of other chances as well on the edge of the area. So we actually created a lot, and we actually created the second highest amount of good chances in the whole of the Premier League. I mean, Liverpool were out there, you know, they were just absolutely smashed to pieces, Crystal Palace. But other than that, you know, we were second. So listen, we have to give ourselves credit for what we did. And also, you know, we still, to a certain extent, you know, did keep Wolves down, but they did all right. So anyway, listen, we've done the positives and the negatives. The away day, Wolverhampton away day, Laney.
It's going to be a low score for me. Different fans will have a different experience. I, because of the kickoff time, I had to drive, so it was pretty much a straight there, and parked up straight to the ground. No pre-match drinks and no post-match drinks because my car park ticket had run out and I had to get back and get out. So it was a straight up functional in and out job. I thought Brentford fans were excellent, so this is what I'll mark it on. I thought the turnout was good, I thought the noise was good, I thought the bus stop in Hounslow at the right times was funny. I thought Wolves fans would have been better if their team had given them any reason to. So yeah, inside the stadium, I enjoyed it. But I thought Brentford fans, as I said, they did the team proud. For the inside and the Brentford fans, I'd give us an 8.5 out of 10. Well done, everyone that travelled up. Brilliant.
Okay. The Allard.
I would say that it's a weird. I always think it's a weird ground where they put you alongside the pitch, and you're sort of it's a bit odd. I always think at Wolves, but it was noisy. Both sets of fans, you know, Wolves fans were noisy at the beginning, and Brentford fans were noisy throughout the day. So, you know, pretty good. Six and a half, seven.
Give us 6.5 or 7.
Seven out of ten.
And for me, I'm going to actually be positive in this one, because normally I said to you, Wolves is a bit of a strange away day for us. I think it's a difficult one because, first of all, Wolves are one of these clubs where even in the first division and the championship, where the unwritten rule in those in those divisions is you when you go away days, you go anywhere. You're allowed to go into any pubs and everyone mixes and it's fine. Wolves has always been the place where you literally cannot find a place to go to because every pub has got a bouncer and it's home fans only, which is properly old school. So I don't look forward to that because I like meeting with your opposition fans, your London Wolves, all this lot, but it's almost like a military position to do that. However, you know, what I will say to that is, for Wolves, I actually enjoyed it for the first time. And even though I was driving, drove up early, went to the pub beforehand, found another pub fairly near to the station, which no bouncer on the door. The Wolves fans are really friendly beforehand. After the game, we went back there after as well, spoke to loads of Wolves fans who are on the post-match podcast. Check it out, prideofwest.london. Really friendly, really positive about Brentford as well. So for me, it was a really great day. Sunny day. You know, obviously, again, with my daughter Bella, who really enjoyed it, hasn't been to Wolves before. And we got a good result, good singing. I thought the Wolves fans, again, I'm always impressed by, I think, is it the West Stand, which is to the right of left of us, which they all stand. Interesting, if you watch them also, they had not rail seating, but they had rails over the seats. So they had, like, if we had seats at New Griffin Park as you see it, then they put rails over the seats, which allows fans to stand so they don't fall over if somebody tips them over. So it's not quite safe standing rail seating, but it's rails on the seats, which makes it safe. So that whole section had rail seating and not one single fan was sitting down again. I've never been there seeing a fan sit down in that West Stand when there's a lot of fans, about 6,000 there. So I'm going to give the day actually a good old 8 out of 10, which is, for me, for Wolves, is a biggie, because normally I'm like, I'm not quite sure about it. I'm going to talk about, what's it? We're going to talk also as well. We're going to have to talk about the key moment. Laney, what's your key moment?
key moment for me is the Troy Ori shot coming off the bar. If that goes in, I think, you know, the tails are up. They know they can score. That not going in, I think it put a big question mark over the whole of the Wolves team, thinking, this isn't going to be our day again. And that kind of that spreads. So, for me, that happened at the right time. That would have made it 1-1. It could be a different afternoon. Not to say it would have been, but for me, I think that was a big key moment.
And the Allards?
Yeah, I agree. You don't basically want to be dragged back to 1-1. We've seen it already this season, you know, at Villa. So get dragged back to that, and then you almost feel like you've got to go again. So that was a big key moment for sure.
And for me, I'm actually going to say the sending off, because it's a key moment, and that's the key moment, especially as half an hour to go. That's a moment where literally we could have lost it, and you sort of think, oh God, I can't believe we're so in command of this game and we're going to let it go. But actually, it made me realise that we were much more organised than I even thought we were, because we, you know, we had a man sent off. We immediately knew what to do. We shifted the pack, you know, we shuffled players around and we dealt with it. And also we were still an attacking option, which must make Wolves really pissed off, because, like, you know, they thought, here we go, they're down to 10 men now, we're going to have them on the racks. But we still, you know, I think we rattled the post after that and we still caused some problems. So I think for me, that sending off was important because it allowed us to still do our thing, and it allowed us to still play our game and show us that we were a very, very good team. And we showed that we know what we're doing in the Premier League. So that for me was a massively key moment. I'm going to ask the question, though, guys, and it's quite funny, this, because sometimes people say, what does this mean? Fair result. Do you Infogol puts out, you know, probably by the middle or to the end of Sundays, you know, their fairness factor as to whether or not results are fair or not. And I'm just going to ask you both, Lainey, I mean, first of all, do you think that this was a fair result? And if it was, give it marks out of 10 on the fairness front, which is 10 is high.
It was 100% a fair result. And I'll give it a 10 out of 10 in fairness. How's that?
Okay, so, yeah. And why is that, Lainey? I mean, that's a stupid question, but just quickly, briefly.
Because we out-battled, out-fought, out-finished, out-thought, out-wanted that game. And we were the better team on the day. So I thought in every department we deserved it. And, fair. Yes, absolutely.
That's right. The Allard, on the fairness front, let me know.
It was certainly fair that we won. The stats suggest it could have been 2-1, but fair that we won, 100%, yeah.
Give us a mark on the fairness front.
I suppose that makes it 9.
9 out of 10. Okay. That's right.
And how's 100% 9 out of 10?
yeah. Well, like I said, it should have been 2-1 according to the stats. Yeah. So it depends whether was it a fair score or was it a fair result?
Oh, sorry. Two different questions. I think the score and the result, I think both. Yeah, so you have to match up the two as well, I think. So the fairness of that score stroke result.
It was fair that it was 100% fair. We got 3 points.
Okay, and the result
10, which makes it 10. Okay. The result was 9.
So
was
you, have
nine.
To, you have to merge the two. Right. Merge the two. This is a new section, so we're not used to this, by the way.
Nine and a half.
Okay. So, and because I know, because I actually know what we're doing here, I'm actually going to give a proper answer. So, because so for me, actually, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10, and the reason why is that I think yes, it was fair. Obviously it's fair as in the fact that we got the win, but I actually don't think the score was fair, because I actually think that we could actually got more. We could have been about four, it should have been about 4-0, you know. It could have been a 4-0. Okay, they could have got a goal as well, but I think a 4-0 or 3-0 would have been a fair result for this one, for us, for the Bees, because I think we were dominant, and even down to 9 men, we were 10 men, we were dominant on that one. So we've done really well in getting the result, but I think that it could have been better. So I'm not going to give it a 10, because I think, you know, I'm going to give it a 9, because we could have got more. Guys, I mean, this is quite nice, because we get to now recap on the league, right? Which is normally, you know, we get to this stage and we'll be thinking that we've got the fear on, but, you know, as in, you know, Feel Fear on and Galaxy, and look, that's for the oldies out there. We've got absolutely no Feel Fear on at all at the moment now, because we're comfortably sitting in the top half of the table. I mean, just league recap. I just want to give a little recap. Don't forget, it's Saturday, Sunday at the moment now, so there are more matches to play today, but at the moment, We're in ninth place. We're on 8 points, you know, from 5 games. We're in equal points with West Ham, who played 4 games, and 1 point behind Tottenham Hotspur, who also played 4 games, and of course Brighton, who played 4 games as well, on 9 points, and Everton have played 5 points, 2 points behind them, who are in fifth place. Aston Villa are just behind us on 7 points, so we're actually, you know, 8 points, and then Aston Villa and then Watford below them on 6 points. But the, I think the key thing we need to look at is the fact that, you know, Norwich City are 5 games, 0 points, in 20th place. Burnley, 5 points, 5 games, 1 point. So Norwich are 5 games, 0 points. Burnley, 5 games, 1 point. And Newcastle, 5 games and 2 points. So those are the bottom three. And Leeds United are just one off the bottom of 5 point games and 3 points as well, as well as Wolves. So that gives you an indicator of where we are. I know it's still early days, but what do you think of that, the Allod?
I think it's looking good, isn't it? And if we'd taken our chances against Brighton, we would have gone top yesterday. We'd be sitting in second now. But it's looking good, really good at the moment.
Right. I mean, again, you know, Lainey, what are your thoughts? Because obviously, listen, it's all about banking points. We've got, you know, arguably four very difficult games now. Is it three? Yeah, three difficult games. Four, because we have to include, the next one is Leicester. You know, we've got West Ham, we've got Liverpool, we've got Chelsea, and we've got Leicester. So four difficult games now. And I would arguably say also that for me, we're at least 2 points ahead of where I thought we should have been, you know, with this game, because I only thought we'd get, if we got a point against Wolves, I'd be very happy. And we've got 3 points, so that's good. But then afterwards, as you know, I said Brighton is a must win, and we got no points against them. So as Phil Giles said on the post-match podcast, Pride of West.London, he said, if we got a point against Brighton and we got a point against Wolves, you would have been happy. So we're 1 point ahead now, which is a positive way to think about it, isn't it, Lainey?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, the 8 points, solid gold. It's brilliant. And you can see, you know, looking at those bottom two, three, four positions, they're, you know, they can't buy a win at the moment. Some of those clubs, and they're floundering. You know, Norwich also on minus 12 as a goal, you know, as a goal difference, and ours is plus 3. You know, it there's a long swing that has to happen for us to get dragged into that. So we just got to crack on picking up points and then not look over our shoulders at the moment. Just keep focusing, as Thomas Frank says famously, just, you know, the next game. You know, Newcastle, I've watched their game, or was it on Friday? They look like they're trying to get relegated again. It's you know, they're a one-man team. Sam Maximan is the only player I think is top class. I'm more than happy. You're right, we've got an incredibly tough sequence of games coming up. If we can get a win, two wins, if we can just pick up points, you know, it's all we need to do.
Indeed. And listen, again, I keep coming back to that, but you have to listen to the post-match podcast. The Wolves fans were so positive about the Bees, but also, like I said to you, Phil Giles, I mean, I asked him the question, has our start that we've had, which has been pretty good, and he brought up Brighton again, because that's obviously a bit of a, he got a bee in their bonnet about Brighton beating us, but, you know, it was very good. He said it could have been better if we'd beaten Brighton. But I said, do you think that set us up for Liverpool? And, you know, he's given his comments about how he thinks Brentford are going to do against Liverpool. And, you know, it's just the confidence that they've got in this side at the moment now. And this has given us extra confidence, hasn't it, the Allard?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, I kind of view it, I've always thought that if you can average, you need to average a point a game, don't you? Basically, 38 points, that's the minimum. Get that and you should be safe. So we're 3 points ahead of schedule in my little world. It might be different to Phil Giles's, but that's kind of where I am. And it does look comfortable at the moment. You could argue, you know, two wins, two draws. What more could you have wanted from the first 5 games?
That's right. And I'm going to ask you as well, because I can ask this now, because we're sitting here on 8 points. We're doing all right. We're in ninth place. If Liverpool said to us now, actually, Brentford, you know, you could take a point now. Would you take that, Lainey?
Yes. I would have said yes before you finished the sentence. Yeah. Liverpool are above anything we've played so far. And I'm not going to let my nerves sort of contaminate, you know, the camp. But you know, this is the stiffest test. You know, we played, you know, you can say Arsenal are a top 16, but not on the showing so far this season. They're not, but Liverpool really are. There's probably four teams in this division that are, you know, going to challenge for the title. Man City, Man City, Liverpool, Man United, and Chelsea. Possibly one other, and Chelsea. Yeah, those four. You know, this is what we're up against next week. It's going to be an event, not just a match. I just can't wait. I can't. Whatever happens, I'm going to enjoy it.
Okay, and the Allard, would you take a point from Liverpool now?
Only if I can still watch the game. I mean, I still want to see the game. I'm not taking a point and we don't get to see the game, yeah. If you see what I mean. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, but yes, of course I would. Of course I would. Yeah.
See, I'm going to be controversial here. I'm going to say, nah, I ain't taking a point from Liverpool now, you know, because it's only 1 point now, isn't it? Like, you know, we've got a little cushion, you know, so I'm thinking, you know, I'd rather gamble and go for the 3 points because I actually think that we could do it. I'm not saying we're going to beat Liverpool, but we're in the position where we've got the confidence, we've got the fans in the house, it's a late kickoff, so we're going to be in the ground early and all that stuff. Like I said to you, you must check out the podcast PrideOfWest.London. We're going to record it in the pub on Wednesday, in the Globe on Wednesday, and then it'll be out on Thursday. It's going to be a good one, but I'm actually confident enough to say, actually, no, I ain't going to take a point from Liverpool now. I would have taken it 2 weeks ago, but I ain't going to take it now. So I'm going to go for the 3 points there anyway. So listen, look, first of all, I'm going to say to you as well, because just give us a summing up just briefly, the Allard.
Just a good day that consolidated and maybe even made us feel better. We couldn't have asked for more, really. It was a great day, really.
It was a very, very good day. Lainey, give us a little summing up for that. Well, the day, the game, your feelings.
I'm just going to say this. Tony for England. This is what I'm going to say. He needs to be named in the next international England squad. That is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, I might have a little chat to my mate Chris Powell, who's the... one of the England coaches, actually. You know, I was chatting to him about Ollie Watkins, you know, for a couple of years, kept saying to him, you've got to look at Ollie. Like, you know, when I went down to St. George's Park, like, you know, we had a little chat about him there as well. But I might have to, well, he knows about Ivan, but I have to say, actually. After
I think he might know before you. You don't need to tip him off, probably, Bill. Yeah, yeah. I reckon he may know.
They like the fans' insider information, Lainey. You know that, you know, so which is
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
So you're already claiming a part in his selection.
I didn't claim. I've just thrown it into the pot.
He's just claimed a part in Ollie Watkins.
Yeah. It wouldn't have happened. There. It wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. Yeah. He's getting his Tony bit in early and then whatever in the end of it.
He's getting the early information in anyway. So, but no. I think that's a good shout there, actually, Lainey. For me, summing up, I said, I think the surprise. It's the pride to know that people all around the world, you know, saw us play some decent football yesterday. I was getting messages coming in going, looking good, you looking strong. People listening to the radio saying, the commentary saying that you're all over them. And even Adrian Durham on Words Talk Sport actually had to just he gave us credit, you know. So I think for us, you know, my summing up is that Brentford are here. And at the moment now, we're doing very well and we are a good side. We always knew we were a good side. And I think that the fact that's actually being stamped home for me is a massive, massive bonus. Look, we've got a game against Liverpool. The one thing that we haven't talked about is actually we've got a game on Tuesday in the League Cup against Oldham. And Oldham are in the bottom tier, the second division. Actually, they're having a bit of a tough time at the moment now, but sometimes these League Cup matches or these cup matches are a moment that they can forget about their trials and tribulations of the league and actually get out there and actually kind of get a result. So it could be a bit of a tricky a problem for Brentford, you know, but we're going to go over and we're going to speak to Stephen Shipman from Push the Boundary, who are an Oldham fan group, and they've been doing lots of activist stuff at the moment now because there's lots of stuff going on in Oldham. Let's hear what's going on down in Oldham at the moment.
Hi there, my name's Steve Shipman and I'm from an independent supporters group called Push the Boundary, and we were formed in October 2019, and we came together as four lads. It's myself, it's Adam, Dan and Will, and we came together to voice our dissatisfaction at the way that the club was being run, and we're still here now, and obviously things are sort of reaching ahead, really. We've not had a good start to the season. We're obviously propping up the Football League, which is a horrible place to be. So we're 92 out of 92, and the performances on the pitch haven't been great. You know, it started off on the opening day of the season. We lost to Newport with a 90th minute winner from Kevin Ellison, and that was identical to what happened against Leighton Orient the season before. Nothing's really picked up since then. I've only attended a couple of the games because I'm boycotting, but I went to Bristol Rovers. They beat us 1-0. That could have been 4 or 5 quite easily if they'd have been more clinical. just not really seeing much in the way of performances at the moment. You know, you could say that we've been unlucky in certain games, but you know, we just seem to be conceding all different kinds of goals. And I think probably one of the biggest issues is that we just can't put the ball on the back of the net. You know, we've not scored in three league games now. If you add the other cup games in, you know, we had a 0-0 against Accrington in there as well, and we're just not creating many chances. And then when we do, we've not really got any firepower to put them away. You know, we signed Hallam Hope in the summer, and I don't think he's actually scored a league goal yet. You know, he's come with a reputation probably being more of a winger rather than a forward. You know, he's not the quickest either, so he's I think he's struggling to sort of fit into the formation that we're playing. So yeah, bottom of the league, performances aren't good. One or two bright sparks in the way of a couple of the kids, in Harry Vaughan and Junior Luamba. So they've come through the academy system, and they're sort of thought quite highly of. And I think it's good to have some youth in the team that are, you know, some pace, some energy, to try and G the rest of the lads up. But I think when you look at it on the face of it, you know, it's you can't be relying on kids when you're in a position like this, especially when you've got the experience in the side of people like Nicky Adams and Carl Piergiani. You know, he was sort of the elder statesman really in the squad. So we've been having some demonstrations against the owner. So we had a big protest on Saturday, which was really, really well received. I think the estimation was that there was sort of around 800 to 1,000 there, which was absolutely fantastic. You know, the first protest that was carried out a couple of years ago, over 2 years ago, 27 people turned up, and I think it was sort of scoffed at by the club really, and some sections of the fan base, you know. And I think now to get those kind of numbers just shows that the negligence that the club have shown and the contempt which fans have been treated with, and that those numbers have just swelled. But it was really good natured yesterday. It was positive. People were getting behind the club, obviously making their voices known. And you know, that they want the owner to go. We want him to sell up. We want him to sell up quickly. The situation is not going to get any better while he's here. The relationship between the club and the fans is just hugely untenable. And he's got to go. And the sooner he sees that, the better. I mean, it's come about. I mean, there's a culmination of things, really. So, I mean, you know, you look at the fact that we've had 9 managers in 4 years. You know, one of those was Paul Scholes, who lasted 31 days before he decided, you know, to walk away because he wasn't happy with the way things were behind the scenes. You've got ex-players in there. So Frankie Bourne came. He was unceremoniously sacked. Richie Wellens was another one. He was sacked just before the start of the season, which was a bizarre time to get rid of someone, especially after we'd got relegated. You'd think you'd do it immediately after the end of the season. We also had Pete Wilde, who was caretaker manager. They offered him the job, but he's someone who is a lifelong Oldham fan. He'd been at the club for years. He decided it wasn't for him, and he's gone off to manage Halifax now. So that's one of the issues. Is, you know, there's been financial issues in terms of winding up petitions, court appearances for unpaid rent, debentures. You know, you've got substandard recruitment. You know, the number of players that we've had through the squad in the last 3.5-4 years has been mind blowing. You know, we've had over 100 players that have come through the doors. We've sold one of those players for profit, and that was George Edmondson. He was a product of the youth system. He was here before the owners got here. So clearly, the strategy of trying to get players in and sell them on to reinvest the money is not working. You know, we've had numerous falling outs with players. David Wheat probably being the most high profile. He wouldn't take a pay cut. He accepted furlough, but wouldn't take a 70% pay cut. Voiced his sort of displeasure with the club, and he was frozen out. And in a team that had the worst defence in the league, and you've got a player of David Wheat's stature in there, you know, it's yeah, it wasn't. It's not great. It's not great. And his treatment by the club was absolutely appalling, making him train with the youths and just disrespecting someone who has had such a a long and professional career in the game. There's a plethora of other issues that we could bore you with. I'm needless to say, probably the worst thing is, on the recruitment, you've got the sporting director there, Mohamed Lemzagam, who is the owner's brother, and he's somehow managed to outlast these 9 managers that we've had. And if that, that's probably the biggest sign that things aren't right. That he's obviously never going to sack his brother. He's never going to move into another area of the club. And while that's going to happen, we're going to continue to recruit poor people and turn over the managers, and it's symptomatic of where we are in the division. The cup run, it is a nice distraction from the league. I think no disrespect. I think people were probably a little bit disappointed when we got Brentford. I guess you're looking for that kind of we're maybe one of the top 6 at home. Or a more local kind of a big away day, really. I think we've sold a few tickets for it, to be honest. And I think the club have put more on sale, so I think there's 1,000 in total now. I think probably the biggest pull is obviously the fact that it's a new ground. It's your new ground. It's a new ground for fans. I think in terms of the actual cup run itself, we beat Tranmere on penalties and we beat Accrington on penalties. Both obviously that were level after 90 minutes. I think where we are in the league, you've got to be looking at picking points up in the league. Yes, it's a distraction, but there's no point having a good cup run if you're going to be rooted to the bottom of the football league. I think, looking forward to it, looking forward to sort of playing in a nice new stadium. But, I think there's probably a bigger picture in play. We did manage to get some tickets. We're actually fortunate. We've been speaking to Stuart Purvis of the Trust. And he's helped us out with trying to get some tickets. I think the club are probably... The club, as in Oldham, have probably not made it quite as difficult to get tickets for this one. They have said that we can get tickets, but we can't have them posted out. So I think there's going to be people collecting from Brentford and having to get down to the ticket office to get the tickets there. But this one's not been as bad as some of the league games in order to purchase tickets. So yeah, I'm looking forward to coming down and seeing the ground and seeing what kind of side you put out. I mean, it'd be interesting. Obviously, you're not going to put a full strength team out. I think you probably got bigger fish to fry and might not take the competition quite as seriously until you get to the latter stages of it. I think having someone like Ivan Toney, if we could see him live, that would be good. But I think it's probably doubtful. I think there'll be a lot of youth players in there that we'll probably get to see instead, which might make it a more even game. I'd imagine that we probably are going to put a reasonable strength side out. I think we're quite threadbare in terms of the number of injuries that we've got anyway. I think we've got 8 or 9 people that are on the treatment table at the moment for various different reasons. We've also got a player that we can't actually play, centre-half, McGay, who we took an EFL loan out, and we're not sure how much form. We're not sure if when it's going to be paid back. But as a result of that, we're under a transfer embargo, which means that we can only have a limited squad size, and we can't sign players on 2-year deals. We signed 4 players on 2-year deals. McGay was one of them, and we didn't realise. So we had 4 players that we couldn't play. I think we've resolved the other 3. They're now playing, or if they're not injured, but McGay still can't play. So obviously there's some issues there, maybe with that relationship, and that he won't accept a 1-year deal, and we therefore can't play him. But that's just hugely symptomatic of where we are. I think when you look at the system that we try and play, Keith Curl loves a 3-5-2. You look around at what's available to us, and you'd perhaps say that that isn't the right formation for what we've got. You know, I think that, you know, I can say we've conceded a lot of goals this season. The centre-halves for me just look too far apart. You know, there's too many gaps down the channels, you know, and we've not got the pace at the back in order to cover those gaps. So I think, you know, we've tended to sort of start with 3-5-2 and then switch to 4-4-2 as the game's gone on, if we're chasing the game, or we need a change of shape. But it's just not working. You know, you've got players like Nicky Adams who's got one of the best crossers of all in the division, and you know, we've not got the players to get on the end of it. So the formation just doesn't look right at all, to be honest. And I think that that's certainly not helped by the number of injuries that we've currently got. So, I mean, it could be a great cup upset, you know, from underdogs. But at the same token, you wouldn't rule out the fact that we might get a bit of a pumping, which we did on our last trip to London when we went to Leighton Orient and lost 4-0. I think prediction for the game, I mean, crikey. I'm going to be as optimistic as I probably feel I can be, and I'm going to go for a 2-0 defeat. But we'll have to see. But no, looking forward to getting down, meeting some Brentford fans and talking to them about their journey. You know, the rise has been meteoric. I mean, I remember battling out at Griffin Park, you know, in the middle of League One. We've had some pretty uninspiring games over the years. But, you know, it just shows you what can be done if you run a club the right way and you do things the right way and reinvest money and from transfers. And, you know, Matthew Benham he's been amazing for Brentford. He's done such a good job, and obviously you're reaping the rewards now. It looked inevitable that you were going to get up to the Premier League. So it'd be good to chat to some fans about that journey that you've been on. But yeah, so I will see you all on Tuesday.
So that was Stephen Shipman from Push the Boundary, and like I said to you, Oldham coming Tuesday night. Possible banana skin this one. We need to be on the ball, don't we, Laney?
Yeah, we do. But Thomas Frank, in his main post-match conference yesterday, he'd already mentioned the Oldham matches coming up. So it's clearly then they've not taken their eye off that focus of that. It's very important that we have a cup run. We got to the semi-finals last year. We'll be looking to equal that, if not better it. We got the squad to do that this year, and we've actually had an extra round. We were given a bye, but we didn't have to play in the first round, so it makes it a little bit easier for us. We need our fringe players to get minutes, and that's the way we'll be approaching it on Tuesday night. As I said last week, I think we ought to go stronger to start, finish the game if we can, and then sort of take players off once and if the game's behind us. Again, not taking it for granted, but you know, they're bottom of the division, they're hemorrhaging goals. It's a game that we need to 100% win.
And the Ellard, I mean, the thing is, okay, obviously important match, but it's going to be very much a B-team game for us. It is going to be, you know, we're going to play a lot of second-string players, or squad players, I like to say, because I'm not putting them down. But, you know, we saw what happened in the last game where we had an injury for one of our key players, which is Mads Beck Sørensen. So there's that balance up as well, isn't there?
Yeah, and you've got to balance up with the system. So you've got to, you know, last time we switched system to play the game, it'd be ideal if we could stick with the same system. And they're not B-team players, are they? Like you said, they're squad players. It's a squad rotation game is what I would call it. And you want to get these players match fit, and that's the way you do it. So I think we rotate quite heavily and maybe keep, normally it's like, what is it, Pinnock and Yanout normally get forced to play. I don't know about forced to play, but maybe they always put their hands up. But they're the two that normally seem to play in these games, and everyone else rotates through.
All right, so listen, we've got Oldham Tuesday night, like I said to you, Griffith Park. Get down there, make lots of noise. Oldham fans, are you coming down? Respect to you. I know you've got a lot of problems coming up at the moment now, but hopefully you enjoy yourselves at our ground on Tuesday. Just come and meet us for a beer if you want to as well. But listen, this is the Besotted Pride of West London, a weekend recap. Good to get that off the chest as well. I'm Billy Grant, and I've got the lady man in the house.
Good afternoon.
Okay, it's a morning, but it's an afternoon for you as well. We've got the Allard in the house too.
Yep, See you on Tuesday. Looking forward to that as well now.
Looking forward to it also. Listen, great result here. We've beaten the Wolves. Everyone's giving us a bit of respect. Even Gary Lineker gave us respect on Match of the Day. I still haven't watched Match of the Day yet. I've got to watch my first Match of the Day very soon. But like I said to you, we've got podcasts on Wednesday. Brideofwest.london. Check it out. It's going to be out on Thursday. Make sure you subscribe to us if you want to buy us a beer. Besotted.com/beer. Also, like I said, very happy because we're going to we've got Liverpool coming down. We've got Anfield Raps going to be the podcast. Check it out.
Come on, UBs.
Come on, UBs.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.